This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always on Thursdays to break down the card with best bets, the one and only Matt Eumanns. Matt, we got a whole lot to get to, nine conference championship games, but we got to talk about the biggest story in college football. It is enormous. Everybody should be talking about it. There should be columns written, and I'm not talking Notre Dame, Miami. Hawaii and California will be playing in the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve, Matt. A tradition unlike any other, sweating out the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve, and it will be Nick Rolovich against Timmy Chang. Doesn't get much better than that.
That is a great matchup, and you know, you and I were talking about it last week. I don't think for the Hawaii Bowl we could ask much more than Cal and Hawaii, and I'm going to be there for that game, so fired up for it, and that's a matchup we were both hoping for. So it's great to see the bowl season get one thing right so far, and we'll see how the rest of it plays out this weekend. But, Tim, you know, we love college football. Even while the powers that be try to make a mess of the sport, we still love it. It's amazing how fast this season can fly by, isn't it?
Felt like yesterday you and I were standing on the sidelines watching the Tokyo Toe beat Stanford and get us our first winner of the season. Speaking of Hawaii, just a reminder, look at this bad boy, the Timmy Chang signed mini helmet, which will be given out to one of you listeners out there. I went into detail on the giveaway, but just a reminder, CFBpod. At vsin.com if you want to be entered to win a Timmy Chang signed mini Hawaii football helmet. We've got some t-shirts from our friends at Rainbow Authentics, a couple of hats as well. So send me an email and you'll be in the drawing. We will do that drawing probably in a week or so. So CFBpod at vsin.com. A bunch of you have already chimed in. Much appreciated with some kind words as well. A five-star review on iTunes or subscribe on YouTube would be much appreciated. But for you guys, looking forward to giving that away here, but let's get into it. The biggest games of the week, and let's get ourselves a little hungry.
The main course.
That's right. We call it the main course around these parts, and I guess you can call all nine of these games the main course, but we get a number one versus number two showdown, Matt, in Indianapolis. We went in depth, surprisingly, with Wes Reynolds on Wednesday's pod. Lucas Oil Stadium, 8 p.m., on Fox, Matt, and the market has been coming in on the Indiana Hoosiers here this week. Right now, as we're recording this, Circa sits at 4.5 in favor of Ohio State. DraftKings at 4. This number was 6, 6.5. And a lot to talk about when it comes to this game. And I'll just kind of start off with the floor being yours on how you handicapped Ohio State and Indiana Saturday night in Indianapolis.
Tim, I'm sure you recall throughout the season when we spoke with Matt Grill of DraftKings about look-ahead lines. And that number was out there at one point, Ohio State 10, 10.5 against Indiana. And I said, I'll take that. Give me the 10. It was 7, 7.5. Then last week it opened 6 and 6.5. I was at the Westgate Superbook when it was 6.5, and I said, you know what? I'm going to hold out here and wait for 7, because typically there's so much Ohio State support in the betting market that the Buckeyes get bet up. Well, the lines started to go the other way. So the first bet I made this week was Indiana plus 6. And there are a lot of reasons for this bet. Plus, I've had this circled for a long time, and I've known I'm going to be on the Indiana side. Fernando Mendoza, 72% completions, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. If you look at Julian Sand, very comparable numbers. Difference between the quarterbacks is Mendoza runs a lot more, and he's got 6 rushing touchdowns on the season. This Indiana team has scored 27 or more points in 11 of 12 games. We said, well, Ohio State's defense has not allowed more than 16 points all season. In fact, Ohio State's defense, I saw this fact, I wanted to throw it out there. First defense to hold its first 12 opponents under 17 points since Florida in 1975. That's incredible what this Ohio State defense has done. But at the same time, I ask you, how many really good offenses have the Buckeyes face this season. You could say, well, maybe Washington, maybe Illinois. I mean, there's not much on that schedule so far. This is going to be the best offense Ohio State's faced, and it's going to be in Indianapolis. By the way, Indiana has the number two scoring defense. Ohio State at 7.8 point game, Indiana at 10.9 points per game. I think the Buckeyes, obviously, because they're higher profile, they've been here, they've done it, they've won it. People like to bet on the brand names and the stars, Julian Sand, Bo Jackson, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate. You know, I think the hungry team here is going to be the Hoosiers. I'm sure Wes Reynolds talked about this with you, but I wonder if there's going to be an emotional letdown for the Buckeyes. The game they had circled for so long was Michigan. They had to get that gorilla off their back. It wasn't a monkey. It was a gorilla. They got it off their back with that 27-9 win in Ann Arbor. They faced a quarterback in Bryce Underwood, who's nowhere near as good as Fernando Mendoza. Underwood, I've criticized him all season. You know it. He was terrible in that game last week. 8 for 18, 63 yards and a pick. You're going to pay $12 million for that? I'm not. Maybe Larry Ellison and Dave Portnoy are, but you didn't get your money's worth with that Michigan quarterback. I think Kurt Cignetti, to me, is almost like a Nick Saban clone. He was on Saban's first staff at Alabama in the early 2000s, was 2007, I think, recruiting coordinator, offensive assistant. The way he talks, the way he coaches, he reminds me so much of Saban. Indiana wants this game bad, and the Hoosiers basically had a bye last week against a bad Purdue team while Ohio State's fighting it out in the cold and snow in Ann Arbor with Michigan. I think a lot of things set up here for a play on the Hoosiers. So I've got plus six. I would still say, hey, play it at plus 4.5. I'm going to have some money line on Indiana as well.
It would be the first outright Big Ten title for Indiana since 1945. They were a tie for the Big Ten title in 67. They went to the Rose Bowl that year. I'm sure you remember that 67 team, Matt, very well, right?
I was not alive yet, but I've watched tapes and I've read stories about Indiana won it that year and then Purdue won it the next year. Think about that, how much the Big Ten has changed since then. Indiana and Purdue went to the Rose Bowl back-to-back. Years, long time ago, before I was born.
little while ago, you know, it's you look at this Ohio State team, Matt, since the loss to Michigan a year ago, which we've discussed obviously quite a bit here on the show, 20.5 point favorites, great play calling in that game by your favorite offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. Hey, do you think Chip Kelly should get the job? Should he come back to Ohio State?
No. No, in fact, I've said this before, Chip Kelly's play calling was the worst big game performance by a play caller I've seen in college football in a long time last year in that Michigan-Ohio State game. That's why the Buckeyes lost as 20-point home underdogs. Obviously, Chip Kelly being gone, I think it's been a good thing for Ohio State. Chip Kelly being gone is going to be a good thing for the Raiders.
Yeah. Brian Hartline, if you missed the news, the offensive coordinator and ace recruiter headed to South Florida, but he will remain with the program through their playoff run. But they're 14-1-1 ATS since the loss to Michigan. They're 10-1-1 ATS this year. You know, obviously they're undefeated, have not lost a game, won the national title a year ago. No official plays for me in this one, but bets that I'm looking at, Matt, and I agree with a lot of what you said. Indiana first half, there's some threes out there. Curious, you know, how they come out. I imagine they're going to be looking to run through a brick wall. Know the situation here. I also wonder, Matt. I just want to kind of talk it out real quickly. And we mentioned this yesterday with Wes, which is the first half under. Now, it's going to be a fast track, and you've got two really good offenses, but you've also got, as you mentioned, two really good defenses. Is this a feeling out process in that opening half where we could see a bit of a lower scoring first half and then maybe things get opened up? Once again, not an official play, but one that I'm contemplating looking at the first half under. 24.5 is at FanDuel, but it's heavily juiced to the under at around minus 138. 23.5 is out there everywhere else. What do you make of what we're going to see right out of the gate? Do we see fireworks immediately, or do the defenses own this in the beginning part of this contest?
Well, there's a very good chance it could be a defensive, ugly, low scoring type of game. especially in the first half. So I think you're right there. You know, we talk about a lot of times you compare these games like championship fights, and you always see the first two or three rounds. You almost always see the first two or three rounds be a feeling out process. The difference, one difference would be like the, do you remember, you probably watched the videos. Remember the Hagler-Hearns fight when the first round, when they just went berserk?
I've watched the videos.
Yeah, throwing the haymakers at each other. That's the outlier. I don't think you're going to see that type of situation here with Indiana and Ohio State, because you got two dominant defenses. You know, nobody wants to make the first big mistake. We were talking about that late last week with the Ohio State-Michigan game. And I think that I'm a little bit more leery of playing the under. I'm not going to play the total here. But I think the first half under might be a little bit better play, because you might have a little bit more conservative, I guess say cautious or conservative play calling early in this game, where the defenses are making a stand, playing with a ton of energy. You know, defense is going to come out jacked on both sides. So, yeah, I think you can see the offenses get off to a slow start in this game.
Yeah, we'll see. If a 24 shows up, I'll probably bet that. I'll be on the air Saturday morning on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Matt always joins me as well, and we can add some plays, but not an official play, but certainly one I'm looking at first half under in that one. And plenty of Heisman discussion, which if we have time towards the back end of the podcast, maybe we can hit on. Julian Sayin around 2-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Fernando Mendoza was at plus 115, but we saw a push for Diego Pavia, I think in large part to the straw poll that came out via The Athletic, having Diego Pavia right now being the front runner. But he's at plus 180 and Mendoza at plus 160.
Since you're talking so much about it now, let's just do it now, because I think the Big Ten title game is obviously most relevant to the Heisman betting discussion. And you know, our buddy the Madman Chris Massaro's got a big ticket on Diego Pavia. That ticket's live. And what you got to be rooting for here? If you're the Madman or any Pavia supporter, or better, what you got to be rooting for here is the defenses to dominate this Big Ten title game and both quarterbacks to struggle. And if you get Mendoza and Sand to struggle in this game, Pavia could steal it. Look, I don't think any voters in the South want to vote for the Big Ten guy. They definitely don't want to vote for the Ohio State quarterback. Mendoza's a great story. Indiana's a great story. You're going to get some votes nationally because of that. But in the South, I don't think many voters want to go Big Ten. They want to go Diego Pavia. So Pavia is very live to win this thing. And obviously, you just need these Big Ten quarterbacks to struggle in this title game for that to happen.
Yeah, we saw a couple of years ago, Bo Nix went into the Pac-12 championship game as the betting favorite, and Jaden Daniels at number two. Nix and Oregon lose to Washington. Jaden Daniels runs away with the Heisman Trophy. I don't think we get a similar situation in a runaway, because Daniels' numbers were so outrageous. Diego Pavia numbers are really good, but if you look at him comparably, Julian Sayin, 3,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, 5 picks, top QBR in college football. Mendoza, 2,700 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, 5 picks, 6 rushing touchdowns. You alluded to that. Third in the country in QBR. Pavia, 3,100 yards passing, 27 touchdowns, 8 picks, 826 yards on the ground, 9 touchdowns. QBR, fourth in the country. I have not bet any of these guys. I don't think Devin Dampier is going to win it. Just a gut telling me that my 100-1 ticket on Devin Dampier probably not going to come home, Matt. But I thought about Diego at plus 180. We actually talked about it on Monday's podcast, where I felt like the prices were off for Mendoza and the money line. We've seen that close a little bit. If Indiana wins, Matt, and I know you've got a ticket on Mendoza, if Indiana wins, Mendoza wins the Heisman Trophy, right? I don't really foresee a scenario where Indiana wins and Mendoza doesn't win the Heisman, but I definitely foresee a scenario where Ohio State wins and Sayin does not win it. So I might put a little bit on Diego Pavia, but also keep this in mind, Matt. You know, we live in Nevada. FanDuel and DraftKings aren't here in the state. We've got to figure out other ways to bet those markets. They leave those markets up. So if you do want to bet this live during the game, I do think there are opportunities. I saw Julian Edlow mention that after Julian Sayin threw the interception against Michigan on Saturday, Matt. His number went to +550 to win the Heisman Trophy, and now it's back down to 2-1 after his performance in that game.
Yeah, he threw the early pick. There was a outrage on social media that Sayin was overrated, and then he came back and ended up with a really good game that day. So caution people not to overreact on social media, too, when in the middle of a game.
No.
Because you can end up looking like a fool by the end of it. Yeah.
I would never do that, Matt. I never overreact. I never get too high or too low, even Steven, during all of these games. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's head down to the ATL. Does Georgia get their revenge against Alabama in the SEC Championship? It's the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Extensive breakdown on Indiana, Ohio State, 8 p.m. on Fox. Big noon kickoff, College Game Day. Everyone will be on site. Wes Reynolds will be there as well. Down at in the ATL, Matt, we've got number 3 Georgia, number 9 Alabama, fresh off of that impressive and gutsy win against Auburn. 4 p.m. Eastern, ABC, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This number got bet up to 2.5. The money line has moved a little bit. I think you and I are thinking similarly in this game. Georgia trying to get their revenge after a 24-21 loss back on September 27th.
Yep, Bama won between the hedges, and this should be a payback for Kirby Smart, who is 1-7 against Alabama as a Georgia coach. And you know that Smart wants this one bad. Now, I mean, there's a lot to talk about here, Tim, and I'll let you dig into it with Alabama and the playoff implications, what could happen here. But I do think it's unfair to penalize teams that play in a conference championship for losing when you got other teams just sitting at home doing nothing and they can move up in the playoff standings. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Georgia defense played a lot better in the past three games, allowing 7.3 points. So Kirby Smart's starting to get a handle on that defense. And that clown show, the playoff committee, they were really impressed by that gutsy call that Kalen DeBoer made and that really great win that Alabama had against Auburn. Alabama was outgained 411 to 280 in that game. And Jam Miller, who had 83 yards rushing on 15 carries, limped off with a leg injury. I don't know if he's going to be able to go, if he's going to be good to go in this game or not. But Alabama's running attack's been pretty ineffective. Aside from Miller against Auburn, have not been able to run the ball, talking about the Tide. Puts a lot on the shoulders of Ty Simpson. Like I said, Georgia defense playing a lot better now than it was when these teams played in late September. I like Gunnar Stockton and the Bulldogs in this game. Now, this is a second bet I made this week. Georgia laying 2.5. Also played Georgia money line at -135.
Yep, it was the first bet I made. I laid $1.20 on Saturday. Still would play it to where it's at now, -135. I think Circa just dropped to -132. So look around, get the best price on the game. You know, look, it's a mixed bag, and Brett Ciancia actually pointed it out in Pick 6 previews this week of the revenge spot. It's kind of split right down the middle from an ATS standpoint. But you do look back at that September 27th game, and you give Kalen DeBoer credit. You mentioned the Hagler-Hearns fight, and would we see that, you know, kind of haymaker standpoint in the Big Ten Championship, Matt? Well, we saw that between the hedges. You got a great first half from Kalen DeBoer and company, and then the second half, it went just radio silent, but they were able to hold on. They got the win there on the road against against Georgia. Just a 19.6 postgame win expectancy in that game for Alabama back on September 27th. You know, I like to look at the point spreads, how much things have changed. And back on September 27th, Matt, Georgia, 2.5-point home favorite on a neutral, 2.5-point favorite. So the market has clearly upgraded Georgia here leading into this game. Alabama, you mentioned it, did not play very well, even though the committee thought they looked great against Auburn last week. It is worth noting, Georgia, kind of played with their food against Georgia Tech. Didn't have prolific offense facing a pretty crappy defense in Georgia Tech. They had just 260 yards in that game. But I go back, Matt, to the November 15th game against Texas. I thought that was the best performance of the year by Georgia. I thought they were fantastic in that game. Suffocated them in the second half. The defense was meant great, as you mentioned. The offense coming alive. I think Gunnar Stockton uses his legs a bunch in this game. It is worth noting, Matt, Drew Bobo, their stud center, the son of Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator, he's out with an injury. Georgia dealing with some injuries on the offensive line, but Jam Miller listed as questionable. Defensive lineman LT Overton is out for this game for Alabama. Look, at the end of the day, I think Kirby Smart, he does have that. You know, you mentioned the gorilla that's on the back or was on the back of Ohio State playing Michigan. I don't know if it's a gorilla because he did beat him in a national championship game, but he's got a bit of an Alabama problem, and I think he exercises that here. Ryan Williams, where's he been, Matt? I think that's the question. He's a stud, and he's been absolutely missing in action. He did not get targeted in the Auburn game, and you look back to the LSU game, to the Oklahoma game, just three catches for 30-plus yards in those two games. So I think when you all put it together, I just like the way Georgia's playing. And I think Georgia gets the win. I laid the money line and the cheapest money line out there, minus 132, minus 135 or so.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about Georgia Tech last week, because I had the same thoughts about the Georgia offense not looking too sharp in that game. But maybe that's okay. I was on Georgia against Texas, and the Bulldogs and Gunnar Stockton looked really good that day. That's one regret I had last week. I thought Georgia was laying too many points against Georgia Tech. I should have played the dog there and didn't play it, didn't play that game at all. It's interesting. The committee is so impressed by Alabama's win against Auburn. Auburn's 1-7 in the SEC and fired their coach. And the committee's blown away by a team that gets outgained by 130 yards. It's just absolute nonsense what goes on with this college playoff committee. Tim, don't get me started. I'm going to let you take it from here.
I'm good. I mean, you go read Bruce Feldman. I mean, if you get Bruce Feldman dropping F-bombs, you know you're doing something wrong. The mild-mannered Bruce Feldman. I know Bear is out there fighting a good fight. Look, I'll leave it at this. If Notre Dame, my Irish get left out, it is what it is. Don't lose two games. If Miami gets left out, don't lose to SMU and Louisville. You can lose one. Don't lose both. I thought Alabama should never have been behind Notre Dame with wins over Vandy, a win over Georgia. I thought their resume spoke for itself, but to give me this BS that, well, it was a gutsy call on fourth down and they look good and they were up 17-0. Well, just put them ahead of them regardless. So my two cents, and I talked about it more so on Wednesday. We don't have to get into it here, Matt. If Georgia wins, I think it's good for Notre Dame. If Alabama wins, I think it's bad for Notre Dame. I know that might not make sense, but that's just my gut feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think the outcry for the head-to-head to matter might come into play, but it'll play out the way that is could potentially play out. Nothing we could do about it now. So let's pivot to another championship game, Matt, and let's go to AT&T Stadium. We got BYU 11, according to the playoff committee, versus number 4 Texas Tech. This is a rematch of a rather dominant victory back on November 8th. I laid it with Texas Tech here on the podcast back on November 8th in Lubbock, 29-7. And honestly, it should have been worse. Although Texas Tech absolutely dominated that game. But do you get a inspired BYU team after the crumble cookie CEO ponied up some extra cash and is keeping Kalani Sitake around? Matt, this number's around 12.5-13 in favor of Texas Tech as this game noon on ABC.
First time these teams met, it was all Texas Tech. Total yards, 368 to 255. And if you look at Tech's season, the one blemish is that loss and that wild finish at Arizona State in the middle of October. I think this Tech team just continues to take care of business. It's been tough to bet against. And Joey McGuire gets a contract extension because of it. We're going to have Ryan Hyatt from Lubbock, Texas, radio host on our show Thursday night to talk about this BYU Tech game. number 12.5 for 13. Tim, you know how I like to bet and handicap, and I like dogs. Kalani Sitake staying with BYU is going to be a big boost to those players. You saw how fired up they were when he announced that he was going to stay. If anything, I would play BYU here, but right now it's going to be a pass. I think you're probably going to have guys like Ryan Hyatt and the Bear and other college football handicappers say lay it with Texas Tech. This is going to be a blowout again. And, you know, I'm not necessarily going to disagree. I would lean to taking BYU plus 13, but it's a pass for me right now.
Yeah, Texas Tech, you mentioned Ohio State, 10-1-1 ATS. The best cover team in college football is Texas Tech. All 11 of their wins have been covers, man.
Yeah.
The only time they didn't cover was against Arizona State in that game you mentioned. Texas Tech held to 5 field goals in that win against BYU. They forced 3 turnovers. That's a rarity for BYU. BYU plus 12 in the turnover margin this year. So I didn't lay it here, Matt, but I did put Texas Tech, and it's juicy, into a money line parlay with a game that I'll mention a little bit later on here to bring it down. I would be surprised if Texas Tech does not win this game, but does Joey McGuire feel the need to, you know, air quotes, embarrass BYU? He's already talked about he thinks BYU should be in the playoff. It's all about politicking in this conference and that conference and crapping on other teams. So I don't know if that's the case. You know, what I'm curious about, Matt, and I don't really dabble in the player props, and when I do, Jeremiah Love gets a knee to the ribs and doesn't break the school record. So I'm going to stay away from the player prop. But I am curious about LJ Martin, the running back for BYU. He was not fully healthy when they played down in Lubbock in early November. But this Texas Tech run defense, it's the number one run defense in the country, Matt. And the prop at FanDuel is 70.5. Texas Tech has allowed just one player to run for over 70 yards against them, and that was Avery Johnson, the quarterback from Kansas State. So if this game starts to get away from BYU, do they turn away from their running back? That would be one I would keep an eye on if you are into player props. LJ Martin under 70.5 rushing yards, just because I don't know if the game script is going to allow him to get the number of carries or the production that he'll need against this really stout Texas Tech defense. So, Matt, I'll have Texas Tech in a money line parlay as part of a best bet here, but I do think they win, but I don't really want to get involved with 12.5 or 13 as a point spread. All right, let's do this, Matt. Let's take another quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the ACC. What a disaster of a conference that has been this year, and somehow, some way, those Blue Devils are alive to win the conference championship. Can they win it on Saturday night in Charlotte? We'll discuss that next.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast Championship Week. And just a reminder, our good friends at Rainbow Authentics have been part of this broadcast all season long. We started the year out on the island, and Matt will be out there for the Hawaii Bowl when they take on the Cal Golden Bears. A great preview our great bowl matchup there. And our friends at Rainbow Authentics are the official source of game used apparel, autographs, trading cards for Hawaii student athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game worn jersey, signed ball, or unique collectibles. You'll be capturing the moment and owning a piece of sports history. Speaking of collectibles or memorabilia, we've got our Timmy Chang signed mini helmet that we're giving away. CFB Pod at vsin.com. Email me if you want to be in that drawing for some Rainbow Authentics gear, as well as that Timmy Chang signed mini helmet. But check them out, rainbowauthentics.com. Also, tokyoto.com. Kansei Matsuzawa, the Groza Award finalist, he's got some gear out there, and all of the proceeds, or not all of it, but portions of the proceeds go to the Hawaii NIL. So check it out, rainbowauthentics.com, tokyoto.com. And as always, mahalo to our friends Rainbow Authentics, who have been a proud sponsor of this podcast all season long. Matt, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina, ABC, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And as we all predicted preseason, Virginia and Duke would be playing for the ACC championship game. A frequent guest over the summer, Joshua Nunn at StepOnADuck1 on Twitter from the Action Network. He has a 200-1 ticket on UVA to win the ACC. Not a bad ticket to have right now in pocket. The madman, Chris Massaro, he said he bet Duke 15-1 to win the conference during the Georgia Tech loss. Duke lost to UVA back on November 15th, 34-17. They were outgained 540-255. Matt, Duke was a 5-point home favorite in that game, and now they find themselves as a 3.5 to 4.5 point underdog, depending on what sports book you look at. This would be so typical ACC for Duke to win this game and to leave the conference maybe out altogether in the playoff. What do you make of Saturday night in Charlotte, North Carolina?
I really don't know. Virginia's been a fortunate team. I know you've talked about Virginia luck boxing its way into so many wins this season, including the one at Louisville, which I remember very well.
Me too.
You know, it's interesting that so many people are just dying to make this case for Miami to be a playoff team. We're sitting here talking about the ACC championship, and Miami's not even in the game. And it's a bad conference. It's a lame conference. My instincts are here to take Duke. DraftKings has got 4. I would play Duke +4. But, man, I've been wrong about so many Duke games this season. I don't even want to touch this. I don't want to touch this game. And you know, I don't like to handicap the ACC in general anyway. So I'm going to leave this one alone. I do wonder, not that this is a handicapping factor at all in this game, but do you think Manny Diaz is in play for the Penn State job?
I think he should be. You know, with everything that they, apparently he's beloved up in State College. He obviously was the D coordinator there before taking the job at Duke. And, you know, all in all, I think he's done a pretty good job talent wise. I know they ponied up to go get Mensah, and Mensah's been really good this year. I guess the knock would be Manny Diaz is a defensive guy and their defense is horrible. So I guess that would be a knock on Manny Diaz. But as they keep going down the line and people keep saying no, I still think Brian Daboll makes sense. I think ultimately he might be the guy at Penn State. I actually think that would be a decent hire. But, you know, Matt, I'm kind of with you here on this game because, you know, I went against Virginia a bunch of times, that bad beat out at Cal where they get the late pick 6. I had UNC plus the points and a very fortunate win for UVA. And it takes a true man to do this. But I've actually been impressed by UVA these last handful of games. I'll give them credit. And I jumped off of them after they lost to Wake Forest and looked like a nightmare losing that game. Chandler Morris did get hurt in that contest. But, Matt, you go back to that game against Duke, there was nothing fluky about that ass whooping. That was a straight-up beatdown, 540-255, 34-17 win. And last week, look, I was on the wrong side last week. I had Virginia Tech. I got closing line value, and that was a dead dog immediately. 27-7 loss for the Hokies, 27-7 win for UVA. Outgained them 380-197. Virginia Tech had 6 first downs in the game. And, you know, one of the metrics I like to look at, Matt, is in that pick 6 plus information packet that we talk about every Wednesday with Brett Ciancia. He grades out the last 4 games. How are you playing lately? Well, amongst Power 4 teams, he has Virginia 12th amongst those Power 4 teams in their last 4 games. And he has Duke 48th. Duke is not playing good football right now. They lost to Georgia Tech. Then they beat Clemson in that game where they should have lost because of the pass interference. They lost to UConn, got beat up by UVA. They beat North Carolina. They do a fake field goal down 25-24. They get the 32-25 win. And then last week, they were outgained by a Wake Forest team that is terrible offensively. So I'm with you, though. This would be so typical ACC for Duke to win this game. So I'm going to steer clear of it. Personally, I want UVA to win this game because I just, this is no knock on James Madison, who we'll talk about here in a moment. I don't need to see 2 group of 5 teams in the playoff. I'm sorry. I'd rather have Virginia in there. Virginia goes to Ole Miss. It might be a competitive game. Virginia scores a bunch of points, but no bet for me. I'm just kind of hoping Virginia wins this game down at Bank of America Stadium. Matt, a group of 5 game that will absolutely be the winner goes to the college football playoff. And I'm very looking forward to this game. Friday night, we go down to Yulman Stadium. It's North Texas and Tulane, I beg your pardon. And you can't go at the angle, Matt, in this game while their coach is leaving, because both their coaches are leaving. Mm-hmm. Tulane's John Summerall is going to Florida, and North Texas's Eric Morris is going to Oklahoma State. This is a fun one. Very high total. 67.5 is the peak of the market at some spots here. Spread at 2.5, Matt. What do you make of Friday night for the American down in New Orleans?
Yeah, it's not surprising you have this scenario, because programs in this conference are stepping stone programs. When coaches get their team to the championship, those coaches are probably going to be a hot commodity. So that's what you have here. I actually think one of the best hires of this coaching carousel has been Eric Morris by Oklahoma State. And I assume that he's going to take his quarterback, Drew Mestemaker, with him. Mestemaker leads college football in passing yards, 3,835 going into this week. He's number one. Sawyer Robertson of Baylor is number two. And I guess my inclination here would be to play this over the total of, 66.5. This market's bet this up a couple of points this week. But it's not a bet for me right now, so I don't want to, without digging into this too much, Tim, I don't really want to recommend that as the best bet, because I have not played it.
Yeah, just to mention a couple numbers in this game. Really good quarterback matchup. Jake Retzlaff, the, we'll put up air quotes, transfer from BYU. And then you've got Drew Mestemaker, who you pointed out on primetime. He'll probably be at Oklahoma State next year, you would imagine, following his coach there. And that would be a really nice coup for Oklahoma State if they were to bring Mestemaker in. Leads the nation in passing yards, 3,835 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, 4 picks. When they get in the red zone, North Texas scores basically every single time. I think they're like 95% in red zone efficiency. How about this, though? I was messing around on the ATS website. And just looking at what numbers, stacked up, excuse me, Tulane did on team rankings. Tulane at home since 2017 is 8-2. ATS is a home dog, and at home in that stretch, 35-21-1. I wanted to make a case for Tulane here. I know the threes got picked off. I think this is really, and I know people hate when, you know, bettors and people like us on podcasts say, well, I'm going to bet this game in game. But I do think with a high total like this, Matt, it is really a good live trading type of game, because North Texas has got an offense that is prolific, that can come back and overcome any hole. And I think Tulane similarly. So, you know, I look at North Texas, their lone loss came to South Florida at home. I do wonder if Tulane's able to run the ball and have success there. I don't have a play on it. I actually leaned a little bit towards the under. I wondered if this total was too high, but the weather, which apparently it's pouring in New Orleans on Thursday, supposed to clear up a little bit, maybe light showers on Friday. So weather, I don't think, should be too much of a concern. So excited to watch this one. Winner goes to the playoff, but I will be sitting on the sidelines, at least pre-flop, on North Texas and Tulane, maybe looking to get involved in game, maybe looking for Tulane at a decent price there at home. All right, one final break. When we come back, we've got a bunch of G5 games to hit on, including the Mountain West Championship for the third straight year. It'll be UNLV and Boise State. It is the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, do please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We're not going anywhere. We've got bowl games to talk about starting on Monday, the playoff, of course. So we'll have plenty of content for you all the way through the national championship. You can always tweet us as well. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. Matt's at Matt Humans 247. Matt, the Mountain West is the conference that you and I love to bet, love to watch. Norton, New Mexico last week was a best bet winner for me. A crazy game, almost gave me a heart attack when they fumbled at the 1 yard line in the first overtime, trying to salt that one away. But we have a 4-way tiebreaker in this conference, and it's spit out based off of the computers, Boise State and UNLV. This is a rematch of the game they played in October. Up at Albertson Stadium on the blue turf, Boise State closed a 13-point favorite in that game, Matt, a total of 60. They won 56-31. Dylan Riley went nuts in that game, ran for 201 yards on the ground. But now this game is much shorter. It is 5.5 at Circa, 4.5 elsewhere, but it keeps being bet up because of Maddox Mattson being back for Boise State. I know our colleague and friend on the podcast, Wes Reynolds, actually likes UNLV here in this spot. What do you make of Friday night on the Smurf Turf? This game will be on Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern, Boise State hosting UNLV.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Wes made a good case for UNLV when he was on the show with us. I've seen Boise beat down UNLV so many times, I need to see it to believe it. And I'm probably not going to play this game, but it was 3.5 a couple days ago. Now you're talking 5, 5.5. Maddox Mattson's probably going to be a little bit rusty. UNLV's got the hotter offense right now, no doubt about it. Definitely the hot quarterback. Anthony Calandria has played really well for UNLV. He's gotten better towards the end of the season. 5 straight games with 250-plus passing yards, a 10-4 TD to interception ratio over those 5 games. He threw 2 of the picks last week in Reno. Well, Tim, I think the Rebels have been really impressive the last couple weeks against Nevada and against Hawaii. In a game we were wrong about, UNLV blew out Hawaii badly in that Friday night in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. I think this UNLV team could get it done here. But again, it's a need-to-see-it sort of situation. For me, I'm not just going to bet this on blind faith that UNLV can get this done in Boise, because we haven't really seen it. We haven't seen UNLV compete up there with a shot to win too many times on the blue turf. So I'm going to stay away. By the way, I heard some rumors yesterday that Dan Mullen could actually be mentioned as a serious candidate for the Penn State job, too. I don't think that's a factor.
Really?
Yeah, we thought that Mullen might actually, you know, get one of the SEC jobs. That were open, maybe Arkansas or something like that, but it didn't happen. So, but no, Mullins, there's been a lot of names tossed out there. Brian Daboll, Manny Diaz, Dan Mullins' name now in the mix. But 10-2, Rebels have had a really good year. I thought they were a little bit lucky early in the season, but they seem to be playing their best football now.
Yeah, no, I was there for that Hawaii game. Like you said, we were wrong on that one. I thought Hawaii would show up. They were missing in action in that one. But you got to give credit to UNLV, the defense. They held Hawaii, a pretty prolific offense, and you witnessed in person that Hawaii offense shred San Diego State out on the island. And UNLV held them to 231 yards. And after a broken play early in that game that led to a touchdown for Hawaii, they did nothing. So I got to give credit to UNLV, the way that they've been playing defensively. You mentioned Anthony Calandria, Jet Thomas as well. Love him in the backfield. I did put Boise on a money line parlay with Texas Tech. I was able to get it at Circa at minus 121 on Wednesday night. I do have a preseason future on Boise State, so I'm also going to let that ride. Not sure at 5.5, do I look to take a middle? Might we look to take an in-game middle with UNLV in this one? I think it is fair to ask, is Maddox Mattson going to be rusty? He does like to utilize his legs. He's coming off of a leg injury. It was a pretty ugly one against Fresno State, Matt. Mm-hmm. So is he going to be rusty? I actually thought that Max Cutforth, the walk-on who they didn't let do anything against San Diego State, thought he played pretty well in the snow against Utah State. They needed him to, and they came back and won that game. I just think this number's a little bit odd to me. You know, they played in October. The number was 13. UNLV crushed them, or excuse me, Boise State crushed them, and now the number's 4.5. So I just thought it was a bit off. You know, you mentioned the history. Boise State won 10 straight in this rivalry. They've always won on their home field. I don't know who gets the coaching advantage. Probably give Dan Mullen slight advantage over Spencer Danielson, but I'll take Boise here on the money line. I think the strength of schedule gives Boise a little bit of an edge to 83 in Sagarin versus 109. So I think Boise State leans on the run game. You look at Dylan Riley, Matt, he ran for 120 yards last week against Utah State, 201, as I mentioned, against UNLV last time out. So I'll take Boise. I'll throw them on a money line parlay with Texas Tech. You can get that around, you know, minus 125 or so right now, I think. Probably 130 at Circa or somewhere in that ballpark. So money line parlay for me there. Let's run through real quickly before we get out of here. We've got three more championship games to hit on, Matt, in the final 5 minutes or so. We've got Troy at James Madison. If JMU wins this game, Matt, and Duke beats Virginia, the James Madison Dukes, with their head coach headed to UCLA, Bob Chesney, could be headed to the college football playoff. Total 47.5, 48 for the Dukes against Troy.
Nothing here on this game for me, but James Madison, you would think, is just going to go for the kill. I liked Bob Chesney hire at UCLA, by the way. I think that was I heard that rumored a couple weeks ago that was going to happen. So I like that hire by the Bruins, but no bet for me here.
Yeah, this will be a Friday night game. Home field advantage in this one, by the way, in Harrisonburg, Virginia. So massive number, the biggest number of the weekend. I'm curious how Troy scores in this game, to be honest. I don't know what to expect from them in this game. We had tiebreakers in the MAC, Matt. This will be Ford Field, noon Eastern on Saturday. Western Michigan and Miami of Ohio. These two teams did play earlier this year. Miami was at home on October 25th. They beat Western Michigan 26-17. Miami now around a 2-point underdog. The threes got picked off earlier this week. The unique scenario where Miami lost their quarterback Daquan Finn earlier in the season to go prepare for the NFL. Thomas Gotkowski has stepped in here. If at three, I would have taken Miami. No play for me here. We'll be watching. It always feels like the dog thrives in the MAC championship.
Tim, I am 1-0 on MAC football this season. 1-0. That's the best record by far I've ever had at the MAC, and I'm going to retire with a 1-0 record on the MAC, so I'll pass.
Yeah, and then finally, before we get to our best bet recap, CUSA, it'll be a hoot of a game, Matt, as the Kennesaw State Owls take on Jacksonville State. This game will be in Jacksonville, Alabama. Kennesaw State is a 2.5-point favorite. Total sitting around 60.5. These two teams did play on November 15th. Jacksonville State at home as a 3.5-point dog beat Kennesaw State 35-26. So once again, the market sitting there at 2.5 in favor of the Owls. All right, let's get out of here, Matt. Let's do a little best bet recap.
Quickly want to mention here that Paul Stone on the Follow the Money show made a pretty good case for this over the total. Now, Paul played Kennesaw Jacksonville over 59.5. So take that for what it's worth. But Paul's very good totals handicapper, and he played that game over. Tim, I'm curious quickly, these incredible prizes you're giving away in this raffle, is this raffle going to be televised?
If there's a need for it to be streamed on Twitch or whatever the hell that is, they can. But yes, just a reminder, CFBpod@vsin.com. We have a Timmy Chang signed mini helmet. We've got 6 shirts, couple of hats. So email us and tell us you want to be in the drawing, and also send us your t-shirt size, because we've got two extra larges, 3 larges, and 2X as well. Matt, we've got about a minute and a half before we get out of here. Let's do our finale, our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, hit us with your two bets for championship weekend.
All right, last week, 3-3 for the season, 44-34-3. So here we go. I've got two this week. Georgia -2.5 over Alabama. Circa just dropped to 2. So if you like the Bulldogs, you lay a little bit better number at Circa. Indiana, I took +6, but today we'll call it +4.5. So Georgia and Indiana, my two plays for this week.
All right. crappy week last week. I was mad. I left a couple games off the card. I should have bet Army. I didn't. I got scared off for some reason. But regardless, no excuses. 2-4 last week. 44-44-4. Wildly mediocre, but let's finish with some winners here in championship weekend. Common play, Matt, with Georgia. Georgia on the money line for me, find the cheapest price. And then a money line parlay, Boise State to Texas Tech. I got it at -121. So those are my two best bets. Hopefully the Boise State future from the summer comes home as well with that bet. Matt, that's going to do it. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking bowl games, playoffs, a whole lot to get into here on the podcast. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks to Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Rick and Ryan Hunter, our producers. Let's cash some tickets and finish the regular season on a high note. We'll be back on Monday right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.